Well, it's a joy to be with you here and leaving this evening, and it's good to see everyone who's managed along to the evening service, and we do indeed give you all a very warm welcome. We appreciate your coming out on a cold winter's night to listen to the Word of God, and we trust that the Lord will bless every one of us through His Word this evening. Now, I want to speak to you this evening about what the Word of God says about the Word of God. What the Word of God says about the Word of God. So we're going to read a number of scriptures, and if you have a Bible, you may care to follow them, otherwise you don't mind if you'd rather just listen. We have a brother in our assembly back home in Dunfermline, and sometimes when he is tidying up, he thinks that anything that he no longer needs, he'll hand on to me. And unfortunately, my study is getting a wee bit slow, and my wife's not too happy about this, but earlier this year, he decided to give me this really old Bible. And you know, and nobody likes to throw out a Bible, do they? We'll think about that later. There's something special and precious about this book, the Bible. On the spine here it says, Holy Bible. I remember when I was in the Sunday school, you young folks listen to this. Here's an acrostic, maybe you've heard it before. HOLYBIBLE. Honour, obey, love, your Bible. It brings life everlasting. That's good, isn't it? And that really summarizes what I want to bring before you tonight, and I hope you'll take that away with you. Holy Bible, honour, obey, love, your Bible, it brings life everlasting. Well, the date in front of this is a little bit older than me. It's dated 1903, so there you go. It's over 100 years old, this King James Version of the Bible. So we're going to read firstly in 2 Timothy. Now these are the words which an older man wrote to a young man. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And he's writing to him about this, about his experience of the Bible. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 13 because I think it's significant in the context. Here, verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now we're going over a few pages to the book of the Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we're reading just one verse, verse number 12. What the Word of God says about the Word of God. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick or living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now over a few pages to 1 Peter, further on in your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now over to the last book, Revelation, and chapter number 20, for some very solemn verses. Revelation chapter 20. And it's verse number 11, from verse 11. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And the Apostle John writes, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, our final reading is from the book of the Acts, and chapter 27, Acts chapter 27. Now, there's some men on the voyage in this chapter, in a ship in the Mediterranean Sea, and they're caught in a storm, and they're fearful for losing their lives in this terrible storm. But one of the men on this ship is Paul the Apostle, and this is what he says in verse number 22. Acts 27 verse 22, and Paul speaks up, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And we do trust that God will bless the reading of his precious word tonight to all of our hearts. Well, the year is drawing to a close. We'll be into December later on this week, God willing, and if we're spared. But it's been a special year because it's been the 400th anniversary of the publication of this book here, the King James Version of the Bible. It was indeed produced in 1611, and here we are in 2011, so it's 400 years. And there's been quite a lot of special things going on this year in relation to the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible. I thought it would be good tonight just to think again about this special, this precious, this wonderful, this unique book that we believe to be the holy, inspired, infallible, God-breathed, as we read, Word of God. So we're going to think about, is the Bible really the Word of God? And then we're going to think about, is it important? And then finally we'll think about what is its message. Well, in 1603, James the Sixth of Scotland became James the First of England. And before that, in 1601, on the 16th of May, King James attended a meeting at which a new translation of the Bible was on the agenda for that meeting. And interestingly, that meeting took place in Burnt Island, so it wasn't too far away from here. The occasion was a meeting of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, and King James was there, and it was there that the decision was made to launch a new translation, English translation, of the Bible. And King James, of course, went down, and he lived in Hampton Court, and it was in Hampton Court that this product was launched, and the translation of God's Word was undertaken. Now, it was not the first English version of the Bible. There were other versions. There was, I think, the Tyndale Bible or the Coverdale Bible, maybe a Wycliffe Bible, but there were other versions, but this was to be the King James version. And there was a huge amount of scholarship, Hebrew and Greek scholarship, and I think a team of about 50 people were involved in the translation and the production of this lovely, beautiful version of God's Word. And there are now umpteen versions, of course, of the Bible, and many modern versions, but there's a richness and a resonance about the language of the King James Version, which many people still love, and many Christians today still prefer to use the King James Version. Now, just by way of interest, there's many common phrases that people use nowadays, and yet they're taken out of, I don't know whether you would know this, but they come from the King James Version of the Bible. People speak about having a cross to bear. You know, it's maybe a problem, it's maybe some difficulty, but they speak about having a cross to bear. Well, that's from here. What about a drop in a bucket? A fly in the ointment? A labour of love? You know, somebody does some task that you can't imagine anybody wanting to do that kind of task, but for some person, it's a labour of love. And that's in here. Can a leopard change its spots? A sign of the times. A thorn in the flesh. A wolf in sheep's clothing. Am I my brother's keeper? Lick the dust. The skin of my teeth. O ye of little faith. Let there be light. The apple of his eye. Filthy lucre. Nothing new under the sun. And a two-edged sword. We read that tonight, didn't we? Sharper than a two-edged sword. So interesting, isn't it? That these phrases that people perhaps use, that they're here. They come from this lovely book, the Word of God. Now, of course, it's a library in itself, and it's really a collection of books, isn't it? And you would know that. And we read from quite a few of those books tonight, 66 books, 40 authors, over 1,400 years, and in places thousands of miles apart, and yet there's an amazing uniqueness, and an amazing unity about the message. And it seems as if one writer laid down his pen, another writer picked up his pen, and the story continues, and we have the unfolding revelation. That's, of course, why it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And those who contributed to the original manuscripts of this book were inspired by God himself. Now, you maybe heard about the People's Bible. That was a project undertaken by the Scottish Bible Society this year, the People's Bible. And throughout this year, when it was celebrated the 400th anniversary, the idea was to get people to write out by hand all the verses of the King James Version of the Bible. So a completely handwritten version of the King James Bible. And it's finished now. And on the 27th of July, they came to St. Andrews, and people had the opportunity to meet up with the Bible Society and copy out the verse that they were given from the King James. On the 18th of October, they were in Glenrothes. 19th of October, they were in Dunfermline. I didn't get there, but a lady that we know, she was there, and she was able to write out her verse from the Bible. And there were just five places in five, so I don't think Leven was among them. But there we are, St. Andrews, Glenrothes, Dunfermline, Cooper, and Kirkcaldy. And Prince Charles, he was invited to write a verse from the Bible, and he wrote, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And then they asked Sally Magnusson, you know Sally Magnusson, the newsreader, got to write out a verse from the Bible. This is what she wrote, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." And then they asked Alan Jones to write a verse from the Bible. And he wrote Psalm 96, verse 1, "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." So that's interesting, isn't it? That all these folks participated, writing out by hand, and it's been completed now, the King James Version of the Bible. Well, people have said a lot about the Bible, different things, some good things, some bad things. Sir Walter Scott, as reputed to have called it the book, and when he was dying, he said to his butler or his servant, "Bring me the book," and he wanted to read from God's Word. Well, here's a more modern book that was just published this year, the Book of Books, and it's all about the King James Version, the Book of Books. This is what it says: the radical impact of the King James Bible, the fact that this book has had a great impact upon the whole English-speaking world, the Book of Books. And that's what we think about it tonight. We think it is the Book of Books. Some of you remember a man by the name of Frank Gallagher, who was a well-known gospel preacher throughout Fife, maybe 50 years ago now. So maybe some of you aren't old enough to go back that far. But anyway, Frank Gallagher was a well-known preacher who lived in Kelty. And quite often when he was preaching, this is what he would quote. "Last eve I paused beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime, and looking in I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had," said I, "to wear and batter all those hammers so?" "Just one," said he. And then with twinkling eye, "The anvil wears the hammers out, you know." And so I thought, the anvil of God's word. For ages, skeptic blows have beat upon, yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammers gone. And that's true, isn't it? And so many have had their go, and so many have raised their arguments and their criticisms about God's word, and yet here it is, and we have it with us tonight. And the anvil is unharmed, and all the hammers are gone. But never mind about what others think about the Bible. Really, the important question is, what does it mean to you? What does the teaching, and what does the message of the Bible mean to you tonight? Is it really God's word? Well, when I'm talking about that subject, I usually just simply say three things. Is the Bible the word of God? Number one, it claims to be. We read that, didn't we? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is God-breathed. So it claims to be. But then secondly, it seems to be. But there's something unusual and different about this book, and if you read it seriously and with an open mind, you would have to say that it seems to be. There's something different about the language and the message of this book. But not only does it claim to be and seem to be, but thirdly, it proves to be. it proves to be. And for those who act, and for those who obey, and those who heed the message of the Bible, it proves to be the very Word of God. You see, we can read all kinds of books, and some books will make you clever. That's undoubtedly true. Some books will make you happy. Some books will make you sad. Some books might even make you rich. But this book will bring you salvation. From a child to the apostle, to this young lad, Timothy, let us know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. So is it really the Word of God? Don't think for one moment that science has disproved the Bible. That's a lie from the devil. And there's many outstanding physicists and scientists who stand for square on the truth and the authority and the infallibility of God's Word. It is not intellectual suicide to believe the message of the Bible. It's not throwing your sanity or your reason overboard to accept the truth of God's Word. And the Lord Jesus himself believed in creation. The Lord Jesus believed in Adam and Eve. The Lord Jesus believed in Noah and the flood. The Lord Jesus believed in Jonah and the whale, because he referred to them and he spoke about them all. So just a few things as we bring this into our message this evening. A few things about the Bible. What does the Bible do? Well, firstly, the Bible speaks. It speaks. And when we read God's Word, he'll speak to us. I wonder if you've ever heard God speaking to you through his Word. You know, he tells us that we need salvation. He'll tell us that we need to have our sins forgiven. He brings to us his promises of eternal life and salvation and peace with himself. And God speaks all these things to us as we read his Word by his Holy Spirit. But God not only speaks, but God shows. The Bible shows us what God is like, and it shows us what we are like. And the Bible says of itself that it's like a mirror. And when we read the Bible, it's as if we're looking into a mirror and we see ourselves, not as we see us outwardly, but as God sees us inwardly. And when we read the mirror of God's Word, it's not a nice picture that we see, because it tells us about our sin and our failure and our wretchedness and our vileness and our unworthiness before a holy God. And it is his Word that shows us all of these things. And the Bible says that there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it speaks and it shows, but it shines. It's a light. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now my mother is 88, and my mother can go back before there were electric lights. And my mother lived on a farm. And she'll tell you that when she went outside this farm and stepped out into the darkness, she would have to take a lamp. And what they did on this farm was they would hold the lamp down here. And as they stepped out of the farmhouse door and walked down the path, she held the light down here by her feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So that we can see a safe way of walking, so that we can miss the obstacles and the stones and the pitfalls, we need a lamp unto our feet. Well, the Bible shines. And it shines into the darkness, and it shows us the way. And the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth and the life, No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so it shines. And then the Bible says, it says, and we quoted that verse, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And so through obeying and heeding and responding to the message of God's word, we can experience indeed God's salvation. But there's something else about this book. It satisfies. You know, the psalmist said, you know, you need to read Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. These are two psalms that speak about the word of God, 19 and 119. And this is what he says: the judgments of the Lord are more precious than honey, and much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. You see, for the child of God and for the Christian and the believer, there is something precious and there is something satisfying about the word of God. And then the word of God, it sanctifies. Again, Psalm 119 this time. How can a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed thereto according to thy word? And the Lord Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, through thy word is truth. And so these are all the things that this wonderful book can do. It speaks, it shows, it shines, it saves, it satisfies, and it sanctifies. The amazing word of God. And that is the uniqueness of the Scriptures. And I'm just wondering tonight, if you've heeded its message, if you thought about your need as a sinner, if you thought about God's amazing love in sending his Son in his death upon the cross of Calvary, and through what he has done and the precious blood that he has shed, there is an offer to you and to me: the wonderful salvation of God and the joy and experience of our sins forgiven. If I can go back to Mr. Garlick again, here's something else that Mr. Gallagher would often quote when he was preaching the gospel. The Holy Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good the design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, you read about that, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. That is the truth of God's precious word. Here's another book from the library in Dunfermline, the book that changed my life. And there's a whole bunch of people in here, and they've written about books that have had an impact upon their life. I know the sad thing is this, that none of them have written about the Bible. It's about Black Beauty and Alice in Wonderland and Listen, here is a book that will change your life. It's God's Word. It's the Holy Scriptures. It's God's offer of salvation through trusting His Son to be your Saviour. And there's many of us here this evening who can say, this is the book that changed my life. And yet it was December for me, and it was December 1955 that I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Saviour, the 18th of December, a week before Christmas. And I can truly say that it's been the book that has changed my life. And if you trust the Saviour and heed God's word, it will do the same for you. Here's a final thought from Frank Gallagher. Get right with God and do it now. Here in his word, he tells you how. Oh, come to Christ who shed his blood, and at the cross get right with God. Shall we pray? Thank you for listening. Our Father, we bow to thank thee for the opportunity of gathering together and of reading from thy precious word. How we thank thee for the Holy Scriptures, and we just pray that something of this message might touch our hearts this evening. If yet we've never heeded the message of the Bible, that tonight we'll do just that. We'll think about its authority, about its value, about its power to change our lives and to bring to us experience of God's salvation. We thank you for the Saviour. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his death upon the cross. And we bow with worship in our hearts for him. So trust us with thy blessing. Bless every head and heart bowed in thy presence. And grant a blessing as we separate from each other. And give our thanks in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn together. It's 910, 910. Beautiful words of Jesus, spoken so long ago, yet as we sing them over, dearer to us they grow, calling the heavy laden, calling to hearts oppressed, come unto me ye weary, come, and I will give you rest. Hear the call of his voice so sweet, bring your load to the Saviour's feet. We'll just sing the first and the last verses of 910, just remain in our seats as we sing, after which our meeting is over.